What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Attention to Detail podcast. So today's going to be a pretty short episode, but I want to have some of these episodes where I come on here and literally give you guys pretty much a few minutes of stuff that you can listen to throughout your day. So you don't have to be on a long car ride. You don't have to be in the midst of like a long workout. I know some of you guys like to listen during your workouts, but you can kind of come in here, get a few nuggets of information, and get out, because I know how short attention spans are these days. So this is kind of a reoccurring theme that you'll see a lot in this podcast. So today I'll just kind of cover the uses of individual workouts. And what I mean by that is, let's say you're working with a trainer. This can be also if you're working by yourself. Some of it will apply more to if you're working with a coach. So this is good for coaches, trainers, players, pretty much any perspective that you want to look at it from. But what it's best to work on when you're by yourself, so you guys can kind of have an idea of what these should look like. Because I talk a lot, and I've been emphasizing it even more lately, the importance of group workouts, playing against live defense, and actually having that kind of perceptual context, which is a complex term for defense or defenders and teammates, the actual parts of the game. Been talking a lot about how important that is and why group workouts are so important, but I still think there are some very important boxes that we can check when we are training by ourselves or training one-on-one with the trainer. So I'll give three, maybe four, depending on how I'm feeling, if one goes with the other. We'll just kind of see where it goes. But number one, I would say, is fixing technique. I think this is the most obvious one, in the sense of, like, if your jump shot's broke, if you need to make slight changes, which is a lot more realistic. I don't think many players' jump shot is quote-unquote broke. But maybe making some slight changes to that, or some technique, really in any area of the game. It's going to be tough to do that in a group workout. Needs to be one-on-one attention. Needs to be, if you're by yourself, filming yourself and making adjustments from there. Maybe you're with a friend. But there's got to be really targeted, individual attention on this. So that's number one. Pretty easy to kind of identify, but that's something that we really want to tackle in a more private setting. Number two, still a little bit obvious, but I think a lot of people look past this when training, whether it be group or individual, is just making shots. And the reason I say this is because it's one of the things that we can actually train for. And you guys may argue with this, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this. It's one of the things that we can actually train for that defense doesn't affect too much. Now, of course, being in a real game and having a defender flying at you closing out will be a huge change. And you're going to have to adjust for that and account for that by playing in real group workouts or games, doing contested shooting drills. Of course, anxiety, fatigue, those are all going to affect it. But just purely putting the ball in the basket, shooting the ball, maybe floaters, putting the ball in the basket doesn't require you as much to read the defense as, let's say, getting by your defender. And I think a lot of players or trainers have players work on getting by, quote unquote, a defender in individual workouts, which is really just air. At the end of the day, you're working on getting by a defender, but there's not enough specificity, in my opinion, to actually work on getting by a defender. So that leaves the question, and this is something I've always struggled with, is like, well, if group workouts are so ideal for reading the defense and gaining these instincts and getting this live play, what is individual better for? And I think this is one of the main reasons, is it's when we're talking just purely shooting the ball, putting the ball in the basket, this is something that we can work on at least with some level of specificity, that doesn't require too much defense to be played. So a practical sense from this, I know I just kind of rambled on that, but in a practical sense, maybe do less moves in your individual workouts. Maybe do less ball handling and focus a little bit more on getting more shooting reps up, but making sure they are, of course, ones that are still a little bit more game-like. So shooting on the move, varying the spots that you shoot from, etc. But in a general sense, I like to practice more on putting the ball in the hoop than pretty much just playing against air defense, if that makes sense. If you guys need clarification on this one, definitely hit me up because I could have explained it a little bit better. Three is something that it'll kind of segue into number four. But I like to use individual sessions for making weird stuff feel normal. So this can be something that's generally considered easy. Maybe for younger players, like an off-foot layup. It feels weird to them. They're not comfortable doing it in a game. So having them exposed to this and doing it in a controlled environment, like an individual setting, will give them the confidence to start at least trying to apply it in a group workout. Now, this can be also some weird stuff, such as teaching them new moves, which I think is maybe number four, if you want to make a distinction there, where we're kind of arming them and putting new stuff in their toolbox for them to have to pull out of that toolbox when they go into these group workout settings or into the game. Now, we can only do so much because it isn't against live defense, but giving them that physical literacy, I like to call it, the actual ability to do it, is a precursor, or not to do it, but to be coordinated in doing it, to be comfortable in doing it. That's a precursor, I think, to telling them to do it in a group workout or having them to do it. Now, sometimes players will self-organize and do this naturally. And what I mean by that is, let's say player's never done an off-foot layup, which is like if you're laying it up with your right foot or with your right hand, you go off your right foot. Most of you guys are at least solid at this. But let's say a player's never done this before, but in a game, they... the timing kind of requires them to do that or else they're going to get blocked. Now, sometimes players will automatically do that. May feel a little bit uncomfortable at first, but they'll self-organize because of what the game demands of them and do it. So I'm not saying that we always have to do something first in an individual setting before we go to a group setting, but I do think there are times when we should try things in an individual setting first before expecting them to come out when they're playing against live defense. Especially in terms of moves, like I was saying. Yeah, a lot of players do have the ability to just kind of see someone do a move and then do it. But when we're talking about certain setups, I don't like to call them counters as much because I feel like it gets kind of a robotic connotation, but when we're giving them certain setups, certain options out of moves, they may feel too weird for a player to do in a setting where they're competing. So maybe we want to start against air to get the coordination down first so that once we put them in a group workout, they're at least somewhat comfortable doing it and we can kind of push them, nudge them towards doing those moves, finishes, whatever it may be. So again, hope that made sense. But that's, I think, the kind of third and fourth ones right there. And then something that I just thought of, again, trying to keep it short, but a fifth one is confidence. I think I talk a lot about, the difference between block and variable practice. Block being just doing the same thing over and over again, moving on to the next skill. Whereas variable is a little bit, it's essentially mixing skills up, right? So you can go, shot from the corner, if you're talking shooting variability, shot from the corner, shot from the wing, one dribble pull up corner, whatever it may be, you can throw in finishing, ball handling, but not doing the same skill over and over again. that's going to build skill in the long term. But in the short term, that block practice, so practicing the same floater, 10, let's say you make 10 of the same floater, that's going to temporarily or short term increase confidence, feel, and results within a session. Now, this may not apply to the game as much, because that's just what science has shown for years and years, that doing the same thing over and over again in practice will show quick results but not last, and you won't retain it in the game many times. But if we're talking a pregame workout, if we're talking a game or a workout where someone's in season and their confidence may be a little shot, or you want to keep their confidence high, we don't always need to get better at something or target something that is that's needed in their game. That's what the off season's for. We're going into the playoffs, and this is a good time to talk about this personally, because I'm working with some guys right now who are entering like district tournaments, whatever it may be, in high school. And I mainly have these guys working on stuff that they're already pretty good at in block fashion. So they're just getting up shots. They are, now there's still some variability here and there, but they're just getting up shots. They're working off floaters, block practice. So they keep that confidence level high. And this is where the art of coaching comes in, right? So I would say it's a science and an art. Science is all the stuff I just explained, block versus variable, retention to the game, all that big word stuff. Now, the art is knowing when players need something that may go off script a little bit in terms of the science, which is, like in this example, maybe they aren't doing the best method for actually improving, but confidence will help them play better in their next game or the game that day, whenever the next big game is for them. Doing that block practice and just kind of building confidence can be huge. So I think that's another added use for individual workouts. Not everyone, but here and there, you just want to build some confidence and have them feeling good about their game and their shot. Because as we know, basketball it really is 80% mental, 20% physical. At the end of the day, like I used to think this was complete bullshit, but it's not. I promise you that basketball is very mental, and simply getting some confidence before a game, some feel, some touch, whatever word you want to use to describe it, can be huge for you. So I try to do my best to explain these without like the scientific words or anything. Now these are not too easy to understand if you don't know why I'm so big on group workouts. So episode 1 talks a little bit about that, why we should be playing more against defense, all that stuff. And I'm going to be talking about this a lot in the future, especially for trainers and coaches. I'm going to get very deep into this. Also working on a project right now to help everyone understand how to train optimally and how to bring all the science and art of coaching together to really build yourself and help build other players in the optimal manner. So may not make 100% sense for now. Hopefully I did my best. But I promise you, we're going to keep building on this. Kept it somewhat short. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this 14-minute podcast. Stay tuned for a lot more. Let's get it. Yeah, I think you